Cool. Hey, welcome to SpartanUpPodcast.com. This is episode one. Actually, it's episode 00 is, I guess, what they call it. I'm here with Joe DeSena. Joe, you don't really need much introduction, although this will be the first podcast, so some people may not know you, though they probably come here for a reason.
I'm just a country bumpkin. I'm out here in Pittsfield, Vermont, yeah. Growing a family. Spartan Race founder and CEO. Yeah. And I'm sitting by a fire trying to stay toasty with Johnny Wade, the doctor.
Life could be a lot worse than that, eh?
Yeah.
So, you know, you put together a great group of people that are doing these podcasts, not the least of which, of course, is the people you're interviewing and out there with. You've said you're going to do 500 of these, you figure?
500 podcasts. I like to set really lofty goals and then either hit them or come so close that it doesn't matter if we hit them or not.
Well, you've already got, what, 100 in the can?
Got 100 in the can.
Yeah, fantastic.
We decided in July we were going to do this, and what better way to get something done than the summer, and we got 100 done.
Cool. So above and beyond the people you've been out there interviewing and spending time with and gaining wisdom from, you've put together a pretty cool small team here as well to put the podcast together. You referenced me as Dr. Johnny Wade. I appreciate that honorary title. For the sake of full disclosure, I'm not a certified doctor.
Dr. Johnny Wade.
We've got Dr. Johnny.
I've got with me here this morning, as always, we've got Johnny, Dr. Johnny.
Dr. Johnny.
Who else we've got? So we've got Dr. Johnny Wade. We've got Sephra the Wild Woman. Tell me
about
her.
Let's stick with doctors for a second. Sure. We got Dr. Dell.
Yeah,
right.
Of course. Yep.
Grismo, she's out in the UK.
All right, so we are here in the English countryside. Flew over to the UK, myself and Marion, and we wanted to hang out with Dell for a bit. Dell, you met, hopefully, in one of our podcasts. If it's played already, I don't know. Dell will do the traffic and the weather.
She's our international, one of our international correspondents, and she's been amazing because I know her 14 years. She's unwavering. She's got the spirit we're looking for. She gets stuff done. She's a racer.
Yeah.
Got through med school. Lives out in the middle of nowhere in the UK. Marion. It's like the Marriott. Marion, our fearless camera person who you can't see. Can you turn the camera around and show yourself?
Is that going to work? All right. There you go.
There's Marion.
It was well worth it.
You spent some time out in the UK with Dell. Where does she live?
Dartmoor.
You can look that up.
I think it's wild horses.
It's wild horses everywhere and no people.
Yeah.
And so she's our international correspondent. We got Angel.
Okay. I'm always going to screw up his name. Angel, Angel.
Angel is fine.
Angel. It's like the opposite of hell.
Exactly.
He's out in Spain. He's a university professor. We can call him the professor. He's going to run around as well as certain parts of the globe. We've got Colonel Tim Nye.
Mm-hmm.
Colonel Nye was in special operations for 32 years. He's a genius. Every podcast SEAL Team 6, as I like to refer to us as, should have one of those. And then we got Sephra.
Yeah.
Sephra lives in the woods. She forages for food. She sleeps under trees. She knows everything about anything when it comes to survival skills and prehistoric hunting and so forth. And so she's our person naturel.
So to a lot of people, that would sound kind of crazy. You know, you've got a special ops guy. You've got this phenomenal adventure doctor over in the UK. You've got a nature freak who's out there loving, the world. But I've known you long enough to know that none of this is unusual for you. You just surround yourself with interesting people. And almost everyone that I've met through you, you've had a story. You said, oh, yeah, I met this guy in an airport. Or, I was in the weirdest situation, the bottom of a cave in Central America, and then this lady was there. And so tell me how you went about finding the people that you did the podcast with. Because a lot of them are the same kind of interesting people.
So Marion, the genius behind the camera here, she's eating this up every time I praise her. She needs those little bonus points. She's in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
She did all kinds of work for NBC and stuff over the years. And so we were both brainstorming for, the last 3-4 months on who the perfect team would be. And I would throw out names. And she agreed that this would be, like, if we were looking to take over the world of podcasting, this would be the Cracker Jack team. If we were looking to take out Osama bin Laden, you'd have a certain team. If we're looking to take over podcasting, this would be the team, and we got it.
Cool. That's awesome. So in the people that you're interviewing, and I find it really great, my background's in psychology and hypnosis and really getting into the mind and how it works.
And you may find it very easy now just to start to let things go. All the sounds that are around you are actually very soothing right now. And now I need all your money, Joe. I need all your money.
And what I find really interesting about these people is, while so many of them have done incredible physical things, it always comes back to the psychology. And that seems to be what you're digging into is, you know, them being in great shape is fantastic, but that isn't always going to translate to the person watching the podcast. Or the person watching the podcast can learn about how to adapt their mindset to be not more like these people, but to achieve the same kind of results. So what are you finding are the commonalities in the 100 interviews you've done so far? What seem to be the themes that keep coming back up?
Well, first off, what were we after with this podcast, right? And it wasn't going to be a podcast where we just interviewed people for the sake of interviewing people. I was really fortunate in that I had a business at a young age that gave me a peek into 750 homes. I did a lot of swimming pool maintenance, swimming pool construction, house maintenance, house construction, and I had 750 customers all across Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island, and they all knew me by first name. I could walk in anybody's house across all cultures, people that made lots of money and then lost it and went broke, people that cheated on their wives or husbands, people that were into organized crime, people that were Russian, I mean, you name it. And what I took away from that experience, which was over a decade long, was there are right things to do in life and there are wrong things to do. There are proper ways to raise a family and improper ways that would give you different results. And I sought after the results that looked most promising.
Sure.
And so then I tried to form analysis in my head at a young age on how to live a life to end up with those results. Had the guy with the nice house, with the nice family, with everything that seemed to be, like, what did he do? And what did that other one do in that other part of town that seemed to have the same outcome? And so that's what we're really seeking here, because I don't know if I found the perfect correlations yet, right? Is it hard work wearing a white collar? Is it hard work wearing a blue collar? Is it living in the country, living in the city? Is it being an athlete or not? Like, I don't know what produces the perfect outcome. And so we're going to find that out. That's really what we're in search of. And looking from the outside, is a Richard Branson, is he happy running 200 companies and having all that success that we see through magazines and media? Or is that not something we should all wish for? Maybe the guy that lives in a cabin with you know, is a minimalist. Maybe that's what we should shoot for. So
I'm going to throw out the idea, too, that maybe they both are. And by that, what I mean is you've chosen this huge, broad, wide cross-section. And I think we're going to find there's some common themes, of course, that we can call and say that, you know, that seems to be a common denominator. But I think there's also going to be different people with different approaches. And that there may not just be one way to do something. So I really want to just acknowledge that instead of just seeking out all the same kind of people, this is a huge cross-section. So how did you find them? How did you pick them?
You know, I know I'm lucky, knock on wood, I know a lot of people. And I have a network of people that when I get an idea, I quickly start emailing and calling folks and saying, here's my idea. What do you think? And I get feedback. And then I iterate on that idea. And before you know it, we turn this idea of a podcast into a reality. And the network quickly expands. And I'm getting calls that say, hey, you have to come up to Cornell and interview. Hey, you have to get down to Richard Branson's Island and interview him. Hey, I've got access to the guy who shot Bin Laden. Hey, do you want to meet General McChrystal, four-star general? And the list goes on. We've got Twitter CEO. We're talking to, and the you know, I don't want to give away our secrets, but the list is quickly expanding, and no one we talk to says no. Everybody is interested. They love the Spartan brand. They obviously don't know me. It's not me that's driving it. But they love the Spartan. Who doesn't love the Spartan brand?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see the movie. Everybody wants to secretly have some component of their life that's something Spartan.
Yeah.
That has a Spartan component to it.
So another thing that I've noticed, I've had the chance to see some of these podcasts getting ready to go through the season, and there are some people where you're like, yes, you know, exactly, you're validating my whole way of being, thank you for saying that. The ones I'm enjoying the most are the ones where you're like, no, that's not the way I see it, and getting some dissenting opinions from people. And And so, some really well-positioned people, too, where you have to sit back and go, okay, I'll take that into consideration. So what do you think about that?
I think it's good for, you know, I've set a bunch of theories in my mind on how I think the world works. And as I said, where I think you can derive the most success, no matter how you define success. And as much as I don't like being challenged, I like being challenged because at the end of the day, we're looking for answers.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to find them.
Yeah.
When we hit the 500th podcast, I think we'll know then. We'll be able to close the books and say, this is how you live your life to achieve the optimal result. Yeah. And I think there's going to be a lot of twisting and turning and differing opinions that come along with that. Ultimately, I'll have to be content knowing that maybe I wasn't right.
Sure. Well, I'm not even going to suggest that you're wrong, because certainly everything you're doing so far seems to be working. But I think it's great when you're hearing other ways to approach something. And a conversation that I know we've had and with Tim and Sefer as well, you know, with the races you put on in the past and the company you're building and the people you surround yourself with, you like people who dig in and aren't going to quit. People are always going to find a way to get to the end. And so we've had some great conversations about that, about where does that grit come from? Where does that determination come from? And you've got experts and people with experience in that. But there have been some really cool conversations, too, about what does quitting even mean? And when is it quitting? When is it regrouping and just reconfiguring your approach? And so what's coming up for you around that?
Well, doing these first 100 podcasts posed some new questions that I had never considered, which were, when is it okay to quit? If you've lived a life of perseverance and resilience, and that has brought you a lot of success, how do you not always apply that attribute? Well, what happened in the case of climbing Everest, mm-hmm. where you're told you must turn around by noon because that's typically when the weather gets bad, and it's 11:30, and you've got 2 hours to touch the top before you become famous. How do you not use that same perseverance, resilience, everything that's gotten you success in life, that got you to where you are, 2 hours away from summing up, how do you not apply that same principle? And so we've learned now, I've learned by doing these first 100 podcasts that maybe you're supposed to turn around.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And I don't want to spoil it for people that are going to watch those later podcasts. But I've learned that there's a simple test you can take, a simple analysis to do, or says, okay, go for it, risk your life, or turn around here. Don't apply what you've learned your whole life.
And one last question I want to ask you along that same note. You look a lot at companies and at people who've run companies, and where companies that have been very, very successful keep doing the same thing they were doing that made them successful, and then they're longer successful. You know, some huge companies that have failed. And I know you interviewed a CEO of a company that was an absolute household name that had filed for bankruptcy, and he was in there trying to turn it around. With your company that you're building, and you know, you're at the forefront of a new sport, and yet I know personally that you're in there trying to change things up already, you know, before you even have a chance to get stale. Where does that come from, and what are you trying to gain or learn from this along those lines?
So I never rest on laurels. It probably comes, and it just popped in my head as you're asking the question, it probably comes from the fortune and misfortune of being at a young age when my dad lost everything. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in a house where you have everything you want. Your dad's doing very well. He's the big man in the neighborhood, and then he loses everything. Mm-hmm. And you probably realize, as I did, subconsciously or consciously, that you can't take anything for granted. That what's here today is not going to be here necessarily tomorrow. And so I've always played very cautiously, even when I've had companies doing well, because I built a bunch of businesses, as if today was our last day. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily care about traditional cash flow statements, income statements, balance sheets. I cared about, if all went wrong, how much cash do we have available to us today?
Yeah.
Right? No one would have ever anticipated, including me, when I worked two blocks from the World Trade Center, that the World Trade Center could come down tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then you watch it physically come down, and you realize there's nothing guaranteed. Taxes, death. That's all we got.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be constantly questioning your existence and whether or not what you're doing today is going to keep you around tomorrow. It's easier to get on top than it is to stay on top, whether you're wrestling, whether you're running a company, whether you've got a great relationship, a family, right? Mm-hmm. And it requires work. And so you got to be willing to put in the time and do the work and question if what you're doing today is going to get you through tomorrow.
Cool. And one last question for you. So Spartan Up podcast, obviously as a follow-up to Spartan Up, the book. Tell me about what generated that book, why you wrote it, what the response has been from people, and then why you decided to do this podcast. What was it that made you think, hey, this is what I want to do next?
Well, I always had the book. I had the components of the book in my head from those early years of running the swimming pool and construction business, and then building the Wall Street firm. Again, were there simple things? Was there a, you know, what do they give you when you buy a car?
Owner's manual.
An owner's manual. Yeah. Was there something we can create like an owner's manual for life? Because unlike a car that could last longer than a human being on this planet, like we've got limited time. We don't know if it's 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, right? And during that time on the planet, how can we maximize it for the most return? So we don't waste it. And I've been playing that tape in my head for all these years. And so that was the impetus for the book. The book was to apply some of those principles. The feedback we got was incredible. We made New York Times number two bestseller. And so now let's take it a step further. Let's use the credibility of the book to get in and go meet the Richard Bransons, et cetera. And they all said yes. Mm-hmm. So now can we take this to the next level and really learn, who am I? Let's go to the people that everybody knows and wishes they had access to and find out what are they doing that's right or wrong.
Cool. And then in terms of the whole podcast format, you know, what was it that made you say, holy, wow, this is the next step?
Yeah, so the format, in my mind, required us to interview those people, find out what they're doing right or what they're doing wrong, and then sit back and analyze it. And just ask enough questions that our listeners and viewers could then expand upon those questions that they could ask themselves. And again, we're trying to help people find answers in their own lives. I don't like wasting food. I don't like wasting time. And I don't think we've got, 7+ billion people on Earth. There's a lot of them wasting a lot of time. Let's help them stop wasting time.
Cool. Yeah, you mentioned to me, too, about how surprised you were. I think you said you were in Slovakia walking along, and people said, hey, I recognize you. You were on that podcast. And I guess you'd guessed it on someone else's podcast.
Yep.
And then you were in Canada. And somebody stopped and said, hey, I recognize you from that podcast.
It's happened in many countries, and this clearly is an up-and-coming format that I think the public's going to see a lot more of. I think podcast is disrupting traditional news and traditional media, and I think it's here to stay.
Cool. So just define Spartan Up. What is Spartan Up?
Spartan Up is that ability to grab life by the, right, and really get stuff done, to wake up early, to be healthy, to live a somewhat of a minimalist existence, and I'm not great at that. I ran through a large part of my life accumulating things, and what I found more recently is you don't own things, they own you.
Yep.
So happy that you've recently taken on this new challenge of living with nothing in your apartment or house.
True.
And that's exciting. I love in the movie Heat with De Niro and Val Kilmer, where De Niro says, you got to be able to move on a dime.
Yeah.
And he's got no furniture, nothing. Yeah. Rent your own forks, knives, socks, shoes.
Yeah.
So obviously that's an extreme Spartan lifestyle, but less is more. Get more out of life, and don't turn away from a challenge.
It's funny hearing you apologize for the word extreme. I don't think you've ever shied away from anything extreme in your life. So
no, I'm pretty extreme.
Awesome. Well, Joe, it's extremely great to be here with you.
Yep.
Really excited about the first 100 and 400 more to go, I'd imagine.
Let's get it done.
Dynamite.
All right. Is that all right?
Perfect.
Cool. I thought it was great.
For more information, go to SpartanUpPodcast.com, and that's where you'll see the show notes. You'll learn stuff that we didn't talk about here. I don't know what you'll do there, but it'll be fun. I'm sure.